going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're on it. You're all over it. You've got the story. The Bears have made the first of their draft picks last night at number 10. Kind of interesting to watch the way the board kind of unfolded. And Brad, what was your takeaway from everything you heard last night? And we know of Ben Johnson loving the two tight end sets. Seems like it's a pretty good draft pick for this team.
Yeah, I think the reason why I'd have confidence that this is going to work and be more productive than some of the recent high picks is because I got to think the coach has got a plan for him, and it's a detailed plan, and it's one they're going to be able to put into action. Like, you've seen what he can do in terms of flexibility with personnel groupings, in terms of creativity, in terms of production with the position. And so you're getting a guy with a very similar skill set, to Sam Laporta, who the coach worked with in Detroit. Like, if you're in on the hiring of Ben Johnson as the Bears head coach, I think you're probably in on this draft pick, right? Because you're talking about a head coach who, in his rise through the ranks, has been a tight ends coach at three different places. He was a tight ends coach in Detroit. He was a tight ends coach for the Miami Dolphins. He was a tight ends coach at Boston College when they felt he was so good as a grad assistant, they needed to give him additional responsibility. So that's why I'd have confidence that it's going to work out with this player, Colston Loveland.
What does this mean for Cole Kmet? And even though we understand that Ben Johnson likes to use the two tight end sets, would you project Colston Loveland to have more targets and or receptions next year than Kmet?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little early to to get into that just because he's a rookie and he's got to go out there and do it. But I would think he's going to have an opportunity. But Cole Kmet has got far more upside and productivity as a pass-catching tight end than any number two option that Johnson's worked with anywhere, really, in my opinion. So I think there's still going to be plenty for Cole to do. And, you know, Jeff King, the senior director of player personnel, even said, like, you know, Cole's going to be a big part of the offense here. Like, this isn't him being replaced by the selection of Colston Loveland. Because you can't run 12 personnel with just Colston Loveland. Had they drafted, Kelvin Banks, let's say that Kelvin Banks doesn't go ninth to the Saints, like, that's drafting a guy to replace Braxton Jones. That's not the case here with Cole.
It is interesting, though, because it'll be just interesting. Cole Kmet is on a four-year, $50 million deal. And
if it's third and five, who's more likely to get the ball?
Well, the guy picked 43rd, or the guy picked
10th.
Third and five. Which guy? How do you want to attack him? Which tight end's going to be on the field? So we'll see. They obviously think that Loveland has huge upside here as a producer for them in this offense. And this is the kind of first pick for new regime, at least regime involving the head coach, right? The GM's been here for a while. So I think there's certainly reason to be excited.
Did anything really surprise you in the draft? Was the trade down by Cleveland to Jacksonville, did that take you unawares? And Brad, there were all sorts of wild reports about the Bears planning this big move up. They were going to, the Bears, wait till you see them get on their horse. And you couldn't help but wonder if the price that Jacksonville paid to move up a couple spots proved to be debilitating for other teams that may have wanted to move into the first round, nothing happening until the 25th pick.
Yeah, I mean, a few thoughts. First of all, I believe like the Browns and Jaguars, they got together and put the framework of this entire thing together like 2.5 weeks ago. This
right.
wasn't something
right.
that came together in the last couple days. This was in place, provided Cam Ward wasn't an option for the Cleveland Browns. More surprising to me that Jacksonville, a team that seemingly needs, has a host of needs, would pay a big, big price to go from 5 to 2 in year one for a new GM, new head coach, than the Browns looking to amass future draft capital in an effort to address the couple decade long quarterback issue in the future. So like the Browns, you can look at it and say, okay, I get that. They're loading up to be able to go get their guy when the time is right. That guy wasn't in this draft. Like, are they even going to take a quarterback with? They've got two of the top four picks tonight.
Right?
Are they even going to take a Shedeur Sanders? Do you even take a shot at that and say, well, maybe this guy could be it, or do you continue to add quality football players so when you do go attempt to get your quarterback, you've got a stronger roster? Do you see if you can get future first-round draft picks for your high picks tonight? Do you continue to try to add more draft capital? So the move from Jacksonville's standpoint was a little bit surprising for me. I mean, you want to plant your flag and show everyone, you know, that we've got a new thing going in Jacksonville. Okay, but boy, you paid a heck of a price for Travis Hunter to go do that.
What's weird is they really need a corner, right? So does that mean, we had talked to you before, you said people have told you that this guy's a wide receiver. Now they got an offensive-minded coach. Is that?
Oh, he'll play wide receiver first, and they're going to try to slowly. Like the reason they're dreaming of like this two-way player. Like they've got you know, concrete Charlie Bednarik out there, except he plays on the outside. But it sounds like it's offense first, and then they see kind of where it goes. From there, I mean, special player, no question about it. Yep. And if you get two players out of that pick, okay, well then the trade makes more sense. Like if he can really do that and play both ways, okay. I hope it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun to watch, and I hope he can stay healthy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We're going to compare quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round like we will with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels throughout the course of their careers. We already went through that with the 2017 draft as well. Do you think it's going to be human nature to compare the paths that Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland take? And do you think that one is positioned for better success than the other?
Yeah, it's fair to the Bears could have had either one of them, right? So you're gonna kind of look at that, and I think the Bears did a pretty good job of explaining their thought process, like with yesterday when Ryan Poles and Jeff King chatted for a little bit. They both said, "Hey, we think Tyler Warren's going to be a great player." It came down to Colston Loveland. They feel it's a better fit for them. And I think that makes sense. I think you look at it and you say Tyler Warren's probably a more physical tight end, more punishing. And Colston Loveland is a little more explosive and athletic. So from the plan of what the coach wants to do with the position, I think Loveland is probably a better fit. Now he's got to go out and prove that he's a better tight end. And they even said they think he's more effective as a run blocker than maybe he gets credit for. He's got good size. What is he, 6'5", 240? Like this is a big boy. And blocking is something that you can get coached up on that at the NFL level. Like you can't coach the lower body quickness and twitch and things of that nature, but you can coach up a guy on becoming an even better blocker than he is, and they feel like he's pretty solid. But yeah, that's a comparison. And Dave, I don't, you know, hey, what's Mykel Williams do for the San Francisco 49ers, a defensive end out of Georgia? Like, how does his career unfold? Because you could make a legitimate case that's a pick that would have made sense for them. So if that guy goes out and wrecks shop for the 49ers, you look at that and you say, well, you know, here's something they could have done. But as long as Colston Loveland is producing and playing well in their offense, I think you'll feel pretty good about it. And they've been on him for a while, right? They did heavy, heavy work on J.J. McCarthy a year ago. You know, they were on the ground in Ann Arbor watching games. They were talking to people in the program. So they're learning and, you know, seeing things and with Colston Loveland last year, and then this year you get deeper into the, you know, what's this guy like? Get to know him a little bit, do background work, and that's where I think he became even more impressive for them.
So I think we have a good feel for what the Bears need. How does the board match up with that? What do you think they do in the early second round tonight?
Yeah, you had two left tackles.
That was pity.
Potential left tackles, yep. Anyway, come off the board.
Connerly and Simmons. Late, yeah, I was cursing
late
that.
Late last night.
Yeah.
Late last night. And so if you are dead set on, you know, is there a left tackle here that can compete? Minnesota's Ariante Ursary might be kind of the last best option. Unless, you know, they find a Braxton Jones, a lower round pick that can do something as a rookie. That would be challenging, not unheard of. Ursary, lot of starts at left tackle for the Gophers. I want to say like 37 or 38 of them. I don't have that in front of me, guys. But and I think I mentioned when I was on with you guys, was it last week or the beginning of the week, that all the time's kind of molded together here. But I talked to a guy who compared him. He liked him as good or better than our man Mimbo from Mizzou. So, you know, everybody's got a different flavor or take, but that's an option there. After him, it gets a little more thin. But there's a lot of good football players that are on the board, I feel like. Certainly, the running back class really hasn't been touched after the top couple guys, right? If you really like Travion Henderson, well, he might be an option. Maybe he does. He make it to 39? I don't know, but that's a good football player. Nick Eamon-Worry, the safety from South Carolina, who I think a lot of people thought would go round one, he's available. There's 3-4 edge rushers that I feel like most people thought would be late one or early two options. Mike Green. Now that, you know, you're going to have to square away the off-field concerns for Mike Green, who led FBS in sacks with like 17.
How different is the Mike Green situation this year to the Jalen Carter situation a couple of years ago? Are the Bears in a better position?
I mean, you know, the Mike Green thing, like, there's been, you know, allegations involving women, so that's I don't think Jalen Carter had a lot of baggage. To my knowledge or recollection anyway, it didn't involve that. So I think these are they're kind of different animals that way. But is it? And I don't know that it is. But if that's an issue that you're trying to square away, does that become different in round two after round one? I don't know. Like, and it's probably, it'd probably tell you it's a individual case by case basis for every guy with stuff of that nature. But then the other question I'd have here with him, Dave, is the size. Like, is he too small to kind of be a fit for what they want to do? Remember, they've talked about bringing all their coaches in. Okay, what's the prototype at the position in the Dennis Allen defense? What are we looking at it at left end, right end, three tech? You know what? So if he's kind of outside of the box for what they're looking for, that would make it a heck of a lot easier to kind of say, yeah, we're not interested in him.
When you think about the players that are on the board, like, ideally, if Green you're afraid of or you don't like his size, length, whatever it is, do you hope he's drafted before you go?
Shadur Sanders, is anybody, you know what I'm saying? All the quarterbacks. Because Poles alluded to it last night, guys. he was asked, hey, well, was this as wild as you thought it would be? And I think he thought maybe there'd be a little more action in the top half of round one, and maybe he was telling you that he knew that something was going down with the Cleveland pick at two, without telling you the other day. But, you know, this is where you could see even more action. Do the Steelers feel like they need to get in there for a quarterback? I don't know. Does New Orleans feel like it can get a quarterback at 40, sandwiched between the two Bears picks, or does it move up? Is there another team that, maybe we'll take a shot at this quarterback? You know, history shows you there's not a ton of quarterbacks taken in round two, because generally speaking, everybody's overpaid and overdrafted their guys in round one. But the Bears are in an interesting position, and they resisted the urge to trade up yesterday. And if you kind of like your draft capital where it is right now, I don't know that you want to trade up today. And if there's a whole pool of players that they feel good about, maybe there's a trade down spot for them. I don't know. But I just know, looking at a host of names, there's some corners that you look at and you're like, boy, there's some decent football players here. They've talked about this being kind of the sweet spot of this draft. So if that's the case, you would think they would be reluctant to trade up, but I don't know. We'll see.
Have a great weekend, Brad. Good stuff.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
That is Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune.